It's fine. He can come back in.
Put the gate down.
Oh, then can you put the gate up for me, please?
Sure.
All right.
It's just going to be like a single column up.
Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio. You are listening to a special episode that we are testing out called the Debacle Live Stream Multicast, where we live stream on social media and also record at the same time and then get interrupted by children. And you can see how all the magic happens. Oxygen is a good thing. And John has let me remind people that you can comment in the chats and talk to us. I was gonna look into why people couldn't comment, and that I am not entirely sure. Are they still saying that they have issues? If you're still having a problem commenting, let us know and we'll try to figure that out.
Yes, my sister who is asking right now, it could be your settings.
Yeah, it might be that they need to go onto the original link rather than the link that Benjamin shared and comment there.
Yeah, so if you... Excuse me. If you can go find me on Facebook, and it should be a public post, so you should be able to join in and comment from there. So see if that works, and if not, then just friend request me. We should just be friends anyway. So friend request me on Facebook, and then
friends. Why can't we?
I believe we just established that we're all communicators who are desperate for attention.
I'm not desperate for attention. You're desperate for attention.
I'm desperate for attention. Someone love me. So John wants to know, let's talk about making oxygen on long duration space missions. This is one of my favorite things to kind of bring to people's attention when they ask us about how feasible is it to go to Mars. I always tell people, oh, we can get to Mars. We've put a bunch of rovers on Mars. It's not the machines and the rockets. It's the people. It's keeping the peoples alive. And
bags.
Yeah. I mean, we're really not very well evolutionarily designed to live in space. Weird. Not sure why that happened. And that was one of the goals of Perseverance, which was to put an instrument on her called Moxie to see if we could convert carbon dioxide into oxygen. And she has been successful. And actually, I didn't get to catch in on the news briefing. Did any of you guys catch the Perseverance like 1 year news
they
brief?
Found a bunch of I shouldn't be drinking on this show.
But you should. Keep going.
Okay. They found stuff. They found Perseverance found a whole bunch of samples and way more
organics.
Organic stuff that
there you go.
Point towards life. They're not saying life. They're not saying anything. But right. We found a lot. Hi, Kavi.
We found aliens.
So what I'm saying is, if you get this cool little tumbler glass, the hand of a Lego figurine holds onto it. Perfectly.
Please don't accidentally swallow that Lego astronaut while you're drinking. Please. I can't do the Heimlich remotely.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do those. All right. Like, if anyone is ever having, I am CPR certified. If you're having a heart attack, I will be like, best of luck.
So to answer John Reed's question about creating oxygen on long space flights, the answer to that is I can't speak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
Go for it, Gabby.
Oh, I was sorry. Oxygen, super important, right? So going back to scuba for a second, just for a brief second,
we should give our viewers, listeners, a little bit of a quick backstory cap of that too. Kavi and I are both scuba certified, and so we wanted to tie in that fact. We are scuba certified, so this is an important thing when you dive.
I like to mention it whenever I can, just so that people think I'm cooler than I actually am. But it's relevant. It's relevant because like the original designs for underwater breathing had this major flaw, which was that they tried to just like leave them with a reservoir of air to keep breathing rather than supplying them with clean air. And the problem with that is that eventually you start breathing in the carbon dioxide that you've been breathing out, which is no bueno. And all of the cool NASA methods of creating oxygen, both the ones that are used on the ISS, and from what I understand, this is also how the Mars experiment, MOXIE, works, is by converting carbon dioxide into oxygen, basically breaking down carbon dioxide into oxygen and into water. And so on the ISS, it does it with the carbon dioxide that the astronauts are exhaling. And with MOXIE, they're basically drawing carbon dioxide from the Martian atmosphere and converting that. So I hope that answers your question, John. Yeah, basically carbon dioxide is everywhere. If it's not there, we'll produce it and then we'll convert that to oxygen.
So there's no generating new oxygen. There's only breaking down oxygen that's been used so we can purify it and reuse it again.
I guess, yeah, in the case of like just being on the mission and not being on a different planet that would have its own atmosphere, then yes, it would be, you know, converting old yucky air into new breathable air. But yeah, if we happen to find an atmosphere that has, you know, a particular composition, we could try to make it out of that.
I have a sorry to quick sidestep here, quick suggestion for people who want to talk in the comments. I just looked at this, like, can't post comments to some destinations, and it might be that I don't know why some people's comments are getting in and some aren't, but it says that people can post from Facebook pages, but not Facebook profiles. So maybe if they're watching off of mine, they can't comment on mine. So you might actually be better off finding my Space Case Sarah page. That might be where you can comment, or go find Space Case Sarah on YouTube. That might be the issue that's happening here. It might be my personal stream. So
it's all your fault.
Apparently my communicator need for attention, I needed to rein that in a little bit and just do it from my, I was getting too greedy. I reached too far. I reached too high. And hello, Kara. It is so nice to see your chat. And hello, Ben. So we have friends popping in the comments, which will not really make a lot of sense on the radio side of this, but we will do our best to make this as seamless as possible. We will take questions from oh, I see you, Benjamin, made a comment. So there you go. Okay. So that must be the problem. If you were watching off of Sarah Treadwell, my personal page, I guess that is not, yeah, I guess that is the issue. So I did not realize that that was something that was not supported. So there we go. Anyway, so yeah, I think that was a good explanation of how we're going to make oxygen for long-term missions. And also it's going to be useful for us to make fuel for return missions, because that's a huge problem about solving how to get to Mars is the fact that it takes so long to get there. And if we want to take payloads, we have to have fuel to get back. And that's kind of the cool thing about how missions are being designed. It kind of like gets created in tandem with what is happening. So, you know, talking about going to Mars, maybe even 10 years ago, we wouldn't have put it on the radar that it was, we should take up 3D printers, really, you know, like those weren't really a big thing yet. And now it's like, oh, you know, we should 3D print on Mars because then we don't have to take all that material with us. So it's kind of, we saw it when NASA announced recently as well that because of Ingenuity and how successful it was, they have determined that a lot of the Mars sample return missions are going to use flighted vehicles as opposed to wheeled vehicles. So it's like chicken and the egg, you know, how are we going to support people in long-term duration missions? That's a great question. I mean, really the big crux right now is not, I mean, even I would say that the oxygen is a very workable problem. It's
and the gravity. Water too. I mean, like water, on the ISS, they're actually pretty good at recycling. I'm not going to tiptoe around it. They can basically recycle their pee into water and make it more pure and more clean and better, like for drinking than the stuff that we drink out of the taps.
There's a saying amongst astronauts that yesterday's coffee is tomorrow's coffee.
I like that. We should get coffee mugs for that and just be like, this was yesterday's coffee.
Actually, you know what? That's a really good idea.
Tomorrow's coffee.
But it's true. Like, it's so much. I mean, we have joked so many times about things always going to, like, poop. But it's true. Like, ultimately, I always think about camping. When you go camping, your two biggest things that you have to logistically figure out is what you're going to eat and number how one. Are you going to get rid of the waste
number
product.
Two.
Yeah. And it's no different in space. It's just a lot bigger of a problem because then you also have, you know, difficulties growing food in space. So then mm-hmm. how do you preserve and get food to stay that long and not go into fatigue, which is a huge reason that we have these analog missions like what I went on where we simulate eating, you know, dehydrated food. And I will tell you that will get old really fast.
Really?
Dehydrated butter is the worst thing that's ever existed.
It sounded so fun.
I mean, it is fun. It's just the like dehydrated ground beef smells like dog food. It's just, I don't know. So the food thing, I think, you know, but again, biology, it's all biology. So for people who are making it, kind of figuring it out how to talk to us, go ahead, shoot us some questions about atmospheres. I'm going to be doing an outreach thing tomorrow, pending I still test negative for COVID. And one of the things I'm going to actually be talking about is like atmospheres, and I'm going to be doing a dry ice demo because it's a really good equation to be like, well, on Mars, water can't exist in liquid form. It goes straight from a solid to a gas. And we have the same thing happen on Earth with carbon dioxide. And that's what dry ice is. And I mean, really, it's just an excuse to play with dry ice because dry ice, but anything really can be tied into space exploration. I got a question coming in. Okay. Ooh, this is from Ben. He says, besides the theory of terraforming, this comes up a lot. Yes. Has anyone considered the possibility of any negative impacts to the atmosphere or geology of Mars? I mean, just because it isn't hospitable to us doesn't mean it's not virgin in its own right. And now we're going philosophy and ethics. Gosh.
There is definitely a very clear answer to that set out in NASA's policy. Benjamin, I'm not sure if you want to take this one.
I don't know if it's an official NASA policy. I know that Carl Sagan was a huge proponent that if they find even one bacteria on Mars, leave it alone.
That's
technically a Martian, and that's its world, and leave it be. But I don't know if that's what you're referring to as NASA's official
policy. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm referring to. So
I knew that then. I knew from the beginning. I knew exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. But yeah, basically, NASA has this policy.
He's drinking for three.
Drinking for three.
Woo!
That's one.
So I think that the way that this originated with NASA wasn't necessarily to do with Carl Sagan's sort of like deep ethical desire to protect, bacteria. But rather it was just like they weren't sure if we could pick up like a space virus from the moon. And so they were really concerned about like, you know, not, you know, what the word, gosh, I'm sorry. It's 7:30 a.m. here, so if I'm not fully awake, please forgive
this
me.
This is why you should be drinking.
Thank you. Basically, the idea was you wanted to sanitize and to have very clear protocols of hygiene to, like, you know, not pick up anything strange from the moon. And so that's how it started originally with Apollo. And it has evolved since then to basically have this policy of being very careful on all missions with, what you're sending there has to be clean. So, like, for example, Perseverance, they had to make sure that there were no, like, traces of bacteria from Earth that Perseverance would bring to Mars, and that would kind of like upset the ecosystem there. Also, it's like equally important because we don't want to like accidentally discover stuff that we brought, because that would kind of defeat the purpose of looking for life.
We're like, yeah, oh damn it, it's a tardigrade. We just took ourselves. Right.
But yeah, I think that answers Ben's question, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and he says, I'm all for going to Mars and I'm really not concerned for any negative impacts, just curious. Well, we hope that that kind of gave you a little bit of an answer. As always, we're not also like NASA experts or in anything in part. Well, I mean, Javi's pretty well educated in astrophysics and stuff, but
I know a thing or two.
Yeah, she's, yeah. But, you know, we do the best we do the best that we know off of the knowledge that we've all individually acquired, which is really cool. What makes the three of us combined really, really neat, I would say. And we need to take a break. So when we get back, Tom asked a question and I will address that in our third segment. So for now, we're going to hop over to a music break really quick. And when we get back, we will continue taking questions from our audience from the live stream that we are doing for this Oxygen episode. So you are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio.